B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Okay, your franchise. Your Patriots reset as the franchise tags. They did not put the tag on anyone today. I'm not surprised. I think they would view the franchise tag, unless it's the kicker, but they would view the franchise tag in case as bad business. And here's what I mean by that. Trey Flowers, who's the guy most people care about, really good defensive end. To franchise him, it would cost $17 million, guaranteed for 1 year. They can't defer any money. They can't put any into an option bonus. They can't put any into even a guaranteed bonus in year two to spread out real cash outlay. They can't, you know, screw around with the numbers at all. It's guaranteed $17 million one season. That's it. And I think they hate that. They hate that, not being able to structure it the way they want to structure it. And, oh, by the way, why would you pay someone $17 million guaranteed for one season when you can give them, call it, a $25 million bonus? And I'm not sure what Trey Flowers is going to get for guaranteed money. Let's even call it 40. I don't know. Let's just call it 40. I mean, that's high. But why give him 17 for 1 year when you can give him a $40 million bonus and get a 5-6 year contract out of it? And the last three or four of them are going to be really team friendly. And now you have total control of the situation. So if you're going to go and give someone a big bonus or a big guarantee, you might as well do it as part of a long-term deal if the guy's young enough, and structure most of the contract the way you want it structured. Like, so I, for these big money guys, like, I'll tell you what I find stupid is this, the Cowboys with the DeMarcus Lawrence. They franchised him last year at 17. Now they have to franchise him this year at 120% of that, which is 20. So they've given him $37 million guaranteed for two seasons. Where if they had gone to him last year and said, here's $40 million guaranteed, they'd get a 5-6 year deal out of it, structure it however they want, defer money, offset money, option bonuses, year two bonus, structure it all they want that's good for their books, and you get total control of the player for the, you know, for the balance of his prime. So why would you ever franchise someone instead of just signing him to a big bonus in a contract? So I think that's why that's bad business.
Well, sure, again, but I don't want to lose the player.
Okay, so I get why they don't franchise him. Now Trey Flowers is going to get, and he should do really, really well because all the other good defensive linemen have been franchised. DeMarcus Lawrence, franchised again. Jadeveon Clowney of the Texans, franchised. Frank Clark of the Seahawks, D4 Chiefs have all been tagged. So they're off the market. So if you want a pass rusher, Trey Flowers is really it, which means he's going to get his ass paid, which has me worried about him leaving the team.
Well, it should have you worried because, again, it's all lined up for Trey Flowers now. He's not going to have a lot of competition on the market, and he's on the market. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's a chance here that, unbeknownst to us, the Patriots have, you know, are close to a deal there and that they'll lock him up. I still don't rule that out, that he doesn't get to free agency. I mean, there's still a window for them here to get something done. But the idea of losing the player, I understand that the franchise tag is bad business. I get it. So the owners, so you have owners in the league then that'll use it on a kicker and then won't use it on a player because it's bad business.
So the kicker's dumb. But it makes more sense financially because it's only a couple $1 million. Well, now it's up to $5 million for the kicker.
Okay, so but you understand what I'm saying, and I know that there are other teams that use it on, you know, D Ford, and as you rattled off, Clowney, etc. But in the case of the Patriots, so there's never a time to use it then?
Yeah, I think the kicker's the only that makes sense for them is the kicker. And it's only to save them $1 million or so because the margins on those kickers are, so you're franchising Gostkowski at $5 million, so you don't have to pay him $6 million. That's what's so annoying to me. It's like you're using a chip to only save yourself a couple bucks, relatively speaking, which is why it's so annoying. Just if you like your kicker, just pay your kicker. You got to franchise him. We're all annoyed with the franchising of the kicker thing. I'm glad they didn't do that today because I don't think they should be paying Gostkowski, period, whether it's a franchise tag or not.
Yeah, I just, you know, there are times where I look at a guy they have and I say, why would you let this guy get away? So now sometimes you say age.
So you're talking Trey Flowers now.
Yes, absolutely with Trey Flowers. I look at Flowers and I say, you know, he's been in the league 4 years. He's turned into an extremely disruptive player on the defensive line. And look, I asked this to Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal when he was here, and he says he doesn't get double teamed. But I don't know. He feels like the kind of guy, if I were on the opposing offense, I would say we got to watch this guy. This is the guy we have to worry about because Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton aren't going to beat us. So let's make sure Flowers doesn't screw it up for us. And he still does. So I just look at him and I say, how can you possibly just let that guy go for a compensatory pick? You drafted him in the fourth round, and you're going to get a late third, which is effectively an early fourth, for him by going in free agency, which you won't get until 2020 anyway, and that's a fair deal?
It's not.
Like, I just, you know, again, and will it hurt them in the long run? Probably not, because they're the Patriots, and Belichick will pick up some bum off a street corner and turn him into an all-pro.
You're missing the most important thing. Everybody else sucks. No one else can figure you out. No one else can figure it out. Your division's a dumpster fire. So, again, there's a whole column of things that bug me that aren't going to impact the win-loss record. And maybe Trey Flowers is it. I mean, he should. He should impact the quality of your team and your overall record, but he probably won't. Because everyone else is a bunch of bums. So you're going to get your 12 wins. You'll be home for the divisional round, whether you have Trey Flowers or not. Not going to impact the win-loss record. I just like to think, I don't know, that you reward some of your guys. You don't have to reward them all. I understand. Budgets. You can't pay everybody. I get it. But some of them, the guys, especially the guys you draft and develop, you should be able to reward some of those guys. And you have. You have in the past. You did it with Devin McCourty. You've done it with others. This should be one of the guys you do it with.
Would you rather pay Shaq Mason or Trey Flowers?
Trey Flowers. I'd rather play Trey Flowers than any of these guys.
To me, it's not even close.
I think you're overrating him when you say that he's extremely disruptive. He's good. He's not great. We're not talking about what Chandler Jones does in Arizona or Javon Kurse in his prime.
Well, I think he's terrific.
Let me tell you why.
Where are the double-digit sack numbers then?
Okay, it's not about sacks.
I don't think they play it that way.
I told you this earlier. He's near the league lead in pressures. He's a pressure guy. They don't care about sacks there. They don't free you up to get sacks. They don't say, forget your run responsibilities, just pin your ears back. That's why he's really good, is because he can play the run, too. He's not a liability in the run game. He's not Javon Kurse that just peels around the end, you know, 60 times a game and gets to the quarterback once or twice. But you can run on him. Or he has a soft, you know, he's just an upfield guy. Trey Flowers can two-gap. He can play the run, and he can get to the quarterback. That's why he's so valuable to him. There's so few guys who can do that.
Honestly, I think they discourage it. Because they say you'll take yourself out of position if you're going after the quarterback all the time. You'll leave us vulnerable in other areas.
Of your question, who would I rather have, Shaq Mason or Trey Flowers? I'm taking Shaq Mason.
Are you
right
serious?
Deal. Yeah, yeah. For how their offense runs now, Mike. He's important to their offense because it's kind of run first.
Oh, not that me. I'm taking Trey Flowers.
Won the Super Bowl.
I think Trey Flowers.
I'm not wrong. So you can put your head in your hands. That's how it's going to go going forward.
You want a run blocking guard?
Yeah. No. He proved his importance, how much he mattered to that offensive line. This is why I wish that they had tagged Trent Brown on 1 year, so you don't give him a multiple year deal like they did to Alan Branch, who shows up fat and overweight and doesn't care anymore. At 1 year, he's insurance, while you bring along the fat kid from Georgia, Isaiah Wynn, and he's coming back from an injury rookie season last year where he can't play. You have your mountain of a man at left tackle as insurance there. You bring along Wynn, and you have protection for Brady on his blind side at 42. That's what they should have done. Trey Flowers is good. Look, I hope he comes back. I hope they sign him to a long-term deal. But if he's gone, they'll figure it out defensively.
But you don't know. It's just the opposite. When they haven't had the players, they've had trouble on defense. They've figured out the offensive line every year, no matter what bum you put in there. They've carried a lot of guys on that offensive line who are not great players, but they've always figured it out up front. They don't always figure it out on defense. So that's not their track record, Murray. So you're going to draft Isaiah Wynn to give him a second redshirt year? You don't draft guys 21st overall to have him sit 2 years unless you're a quarterback. You don't do that.
I asked this last offseason. I'll ask it again. I want to know when Shaq Mason turned into Hog Hannah. Like, when did that happen?
He's a nice player.
He's good.
He's a freaking guard.
He's a right guard. Like, even the guy in the
guy on the left side is more important.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I look at it and say, you're paying a right guard $10 million. And again, I'm not telling you Mason's a bum. But, like, would you pay Tooney over Flowers?
Murray would because he wants to run the ball.
You got to protect a 42-year-old quarterback, too.
What's the matter with you? Disruptive defensive linemen? Those guys are valuable.
I like Flowers. I lie. I think Flowers is really good.
And Trent Brown scares me, man. His weight, he dogged it in San Francisco. Felt like a project here.
For 1 year, if they tagged him for 1 year, I think you still get what you got out of him last year, and then goodbye. So you bring Wynn along, so you have him as insurance. You don't give him a couple of years, 3 years, like they did to Alan Branch, who gets paid and is like, I'll just eat my way out of the league now.
Trent Brown's gone, man. He's gone. To me, the kickers is small potatoes, I know, but it does fascinate me. It's just so good. You didn't franchise him. Now, don't be afraid to turn the page. You've survived him to this point. And he's in his mid-30s. He's one of the highest-paid guys in the league. I mean, who do you hang on to who's in his mid-30s and is one of the highest-paid guys in the league and underperforms in these championship games? Who survives that?
Bill won't let him go. I'm telling you, he loves Koskowski. And look, you know, Koskowski's had a good career. And I don't know if it's related to the Vinatieri thing or what. Although that was so long ago now, I don't know how it could possibly be a factor. But the idea that he let Vinatieri go, he brought in Koskowski, and see, he's the best kicker in the league. Blah.
Okay, well, he's proved that, statute of limitations. We don't need 15 years to prove the point, Bill. You made it. But, oh, by the way, I still would have rather had Adam for these 15 years. I'm not sure you won that. But either way, it's all good. It's all good. You won your championships. It's just... what player does he stick with in his mid-30s at the top of the pay scale who underperforms in the championship games? Who survives that? Your calls on all of this right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The snap of the spot. Kicked by Gostkowski. Airborne to the uprights. And it's no good. Gostkowski with a miss off to the right. Steven Gostkowski, who's made an NFL record 463 consecutive regular season extra points, misses to the right, and it's 7-6 Denver with 1:49 to go here in the first.
I mean, that could be a killer.
And Super Bowl 51 between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
Point after try by Gostkowski from the left hash of the 23. Snap from Cardona to Allen. Kick airborne to the uprights, and the kick bangs off the right upright. Greeny, no good. Super Bowl 52 between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Gostkowski will attempt 26-yard field goal from the near hash. Cardona's snap is low. Allen has to reset it. Gostkowski's kick hits the left upright, and it clanks off the upright, no good. A disastrous turn for the Patriots on that possession. The snap in the spot from the left hash. The Gostkowski kick is no good. He hooked it left. Elliott missed a kick right. Gostkowski pulls that kick left, and the Patriots now trail 15-12. Super Bowl 53 between the New England Patriots, champions of the AFC, and the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. Joe Cardona over the football, snaps it back. Placement and a swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Gostkowski missed it off to the left.
So I said earlier, the last three championship games, he's cost you. It's four. I'm sorry. Misses a kick in the AFC title game in Denver. Absolutely factored in that loss. You were going for two at the end to Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman on that last two-point conversion because he missed that extra point. Cost you big in that game. Go to the Super Bowl against Atlanta. Why are you going for so many two-pointers at the end of that game? Because he missed another extra point. You survived it, but it really cost you. Eagles game. Couple misses cost you, factored into that game. No question about it. You could be going for a field goal in that last drive instead of a touchdown. Big difference. And then you miss one against the Rams. And by this point, Bob Sosi there is so dejected he can barely get the call out of his mouth. Did you hear his call by the time we got to the Rams game?
Yeah, poor guy.
Good.
And the kick is no good. Gostkowski missed it off to the left.
He's despondent.
He was demoralized.
It was from kind Bob to dejected Bob.
He's a beaten man.
And the kick is no good, Bob.
Yeah, Gostkowski missed every kick in that game, meaning someone threw the uprights, but he didn't hit a single one well.
No, even the one at the end, holy crap.
Right.
Like, talk about just squeaking by.
Bleeders. So, anyway, there's your Patriots reset. We got everything on the board. Good. Good little mix of calls here. Mike in Plymouth on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, thank God they didn't tag Gostkowski because all those Division II kickers, my God, the list is plentiful. Can't wait till you guys to talk about that next week. Anyway, can you guys talk for a second about matchups with, like, hockey? Because, like, you got Tampa Bay. You got a 50-50 chance on beating them because you match up well. But if you go into the playoffs and you play Washington, you're going to get smoked. Yeah, you won once. One time, nothing against Holpe. You play against Holpe, you're done.
Okay.
You
know? What's so funny?
I don't know. That guy's delivery, I kind of found amusing.
I didn't get the Division II kicker thing.
Oh, don't you remember the woman who called up with the Division II kicker?
Yeah, like, that was too long ago. I already forgot about that. You want to match up the Bruins quickly? They should be slight favorites over Toronto. They'd be solid underdogs against Tampa, which I think everyone will be. They'd be
underdogs against Washington.
Yeah, slight underdogs. Slight. I mean, I would make them bigger underdogs just because of their history. But in terms of the quality of the team this year, the Bruins would probably have home ice. I mean, have a better record. So I don't know if Vegas would consider the Bruins a favorite in that series. I'd say at best a toss-up just because of Holtby.
I mean, they'd be a favorite, I think, about against just about everyone else.
Yes.
Really. And so, I think the Toronto thing, you know how I feel about the Maple Leafs. I love their forwards.
So Toronto's forward group is freaking nasty. Tremendous offensive team. They're still shaky on D, and you have them in net. Or you should.
Yeah, that goalie's a puddle.
Okay, but your goalie was a puddle the last two times you faced the Leafs. Tuukka did not play well against the Leafs. So it should be a big goalie advantage. It hasn't always worked out that way. You have a big advantage on D over Toronto. Huge.
Listen, again, I would tell you, I bet you that one will depend on home ice.
Tampa, they have you in all three phases. They have better forwards. They have deeper D. They have a better goalie. They have Tampa is in all three phases, I think, better. Doesn't mean you can't win. You outwork them. The goalie shows up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then Washington, it's just really about that goalie. It's about that goalie.
Oh, it'd be so great if the Bruins made another run. Wouldn't it be awesome?
Willie in the car on the Sox. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, I have two proposals for closer. If you hear me, I'll throw the boat before you hear him. What about Sale or Rivaldi? Less innings on the arm. If you have six starters anyway. Or what if a starter that was going to throw his bullpen that day was the closer that night?
Okay, Willie, thanks for the call. It's Sale or Evaldi, or just rotate it between the guy throwing the side session that day.
No shot. They'll never do it that way. I mean, look, you know, his math works, but the reality doesn't. Because there's a difference in intensity between throwing a side session and pitching in the ninth inning of a close game. Totally different things. So, no, just in the regular season, you can't do it that way. You just can't. You'll run guys into the ground.
Ed in Cambridge on the Celts and Kyrie. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I think Kyrie had a point, you know, about Brad never having a player like Kyrie. I don't think Brad has probably ever had a player who ticks every box in the narcissistic personality before.
He's never had an a-hole like this. It's true, Ed.
Exactly. And that's why the Celtics can't roll with this guy. He is not a garden variety NBA a-hole. He is a narcissist full on.
So that's a fair question, Ed. And you know, Maz has said it many times, and we all have to agree that the NBA superstar comes with his own set of problems, and you all have to deal with egos and all this stuff when it comes to NBA superstars. But some are worse than others. Is Kyrie on the bad end?
Oh, he's worse than most.
Okay, thank
you. He's not worse than LeBron, but he's worse than most.
Thank you.
I mean, Durant's not this bad. I don't think. He looks like a pain in the ass, too, but he's not this bad.
I don't think he's this bad. I don't think Curry is this bad.
Russell Westbrook's a pain in the ass.
Is he this bad?
Well, he plays hard, though, every night. He plays on both ends of the floor.
Absolutely empties the bucket every night. Kyrie does not.
So, he's listen, again, in terms of the long term...
Who's got a worse attitude, this guy or Harden?
Oh, it's close. Mm. Harden.
Yeah, we've seen straight-up quit from Harden.
Harden's worse.
I've seen straight-up quit from Kyrie the last couple of weeks.
Harden's worse.
In playoff series, though, you've seen that from Harden. I've never seen Kyrie
I've not seen Kyrie do it in the playoffs, but... I'll be watching.
Harden's worse.
I think the juxtaposition is so glaring when you see two recent guys that they just played in Damian Lillard and then Kawhi Leonard. Those two guys are, you know, true leaders for their teams, and they don't say a peep.
Jerry on Cape Cod on the Celts. Go, Jerry.
By the way, Mike, good catch on what LeBron was trying to do at that point in the game.
Thank you.
You caught it.
Two for one.
And, you know, with all that's going on and all we see, where is ownership in all this, do you think? Are they just going to let this ebb and flow and, like Maz, just give Kyrie a kiss pass?
Jerry.
Yep.
It's such a good question, though. But how about the whole thing? I mean, Wick and Pags and the whole group, they're such cheerleaders, all right? And I just, that's how they choose to manage their team and speak publicly about their team. I've never heard Wick really criticize a player or a coach or anything. It's all very positive and optimistic, and it, I mean, they're cheerleaders.
That's not true. Over the weekend, he was at the sports conference here, and he said they could be out in the first round, they being the Celtics.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, but I don't think that's getting on his team. I think he said that I can see we have the talent to go really, really far. I could also see us losing in the first round. He didn't sit there and say, we're not doing this right, we're not doing that right, we should be better. He's not doing that. He's just, I mean, that.
But so, saying your team could be out in the first round, I mean, that's not good.
That's as close as he'll get to being critical. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
I don't really consider that critical. But should he be? Should he be?
So this might be an occasion where, you know, you bring in a guy like Kyrie and you say, look, what's the deal here? But the problem is,
how about a little public pressure?
Okay, but then do you become the guy in Cleveland, Gilbert? Do you become him, and all of a sudden Kyrie looks at you and said, this is part of the reason I wanted to leave Cleveland?
I just wonder if on rare occasions there's time for the owner to say, this isn't acceptable. I just wonder.
So no, generally I agree with that. Generally, I just don't know if it works in that league.
I don't think Wick has it in him. I've never heard him do it. And certainly you've got to tiptoe in that league. I don't deny it. But just generically speaking, I think there's a place every now and then for the owner to do that. And I think this would be a glaring case.
Yeah, these guys have such massive egos, though. They think they're bigger than the owners. And you know what? They probably are.
We played Bruce Cassidy earlier from TNR talking about not being a big fan of the Carolina Hurricanes post-game celebrations and goal celebrations in general. He didn't like them or doesn't like the trend in the league of guys making about themselves and all these goofy celebrations. Mike in Woburn wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Mike.
So you think Brucey ordered the hit on Eller earlier this year?
The hit on him? Yeah, he should have. I hope he did.
When he said,
right, exactly.
Yeah, but let's sort of walk this back a little bit and just look at what it is in Carolina. It's promotional stuff. They've basically got the entire team to promote the game because they're in a market that doesn't care about hockey. I mean, which is evident of the fact that they're wearing throwbacks tonight to the town that they divorced. I mean, Mikey, you were divorced how many years ago?
20.
Yeah, do you send your ex a wedding present?
No.
Like an anniversary gift?
No.
So why would you, do you dress up in your old tuxedo? No. So, you know, it's sort of ridiculous, but I mean, it's where Carolina is. What I find it funny is they were doing this and getting not much traction on it until old man Grapes decided to go bananas and call them a bunch of jerks. And basically, they were relying on outrage from Don Cherry for their marketing department. Hey, that tells you where the state of hockey is
in
Carolina.
Mike, what should be the statute of limitations on bad takes?
Oh, that's a good one. That, you know what, Mike? It depends on the level of take. It depends on the level of take. If it's just, oh, I think the Bruins are going to, like if I told you that I think the Bruins are going to win the cup this year, oh, that's just exuberant fandom, you know, and if they bow out in the first round and hopefully they don't, then, you know, maybe a year or two, you could rub that in my face. Things like where you manufacture characters like, I don't know, the Don, John Elway, where you create fictional creatures that would take so hot that not even the lava tarp can contain them. I think those might have we might looking more at a murder statute of limitations. The civil stuff just might not cover it.
I think 2 to 3, we've had some good suggestions, Murray. What did you get?
Let's see here. Well, one felony they say is so hard that there's no statute of limitations for one is Andrew Luck is better than Brady. And then 3 years for statute of limitations for bad takes, but you can knock it down to 2 by providing a forced apology.
Right. See, I think that's fair. I think the statute of limitations is 3 years, but you can plead it down to 2 with a strong mea culpa or apology, or as Maz said, good behavior.
Good behavior. Yeah. So does the apology have to be sincere?
Yeah, no, a forced,
it has
sincere
to be,
apology.
No, it has, well, apology. It has to be heartfelt, and it has, you have to mean it, and that'll get you off the hook in 2 years.
Because I can give a fake apology with the best of them. I might sign up for
what
this.
What was your email, Maz?
Oh, so...
of course you don't have it.
No, naturally. No, naturally, I don't have it in front of me. Of course, no, this guy says, never mind civil, the small claims is the best guideline. 1 to 3 years in Massachusetts. For traffic tickets, it's 1 year to appeal. Maz is right. 1 to 2 years is good at most. Tell Felger to stop being a baby. Maz, you're out for the 2018 Sox beatings in October of 2020.
So that's so, you can't get off of the Red Sox railing against a team for a full year. You've got to pay for that for at least a full year or two before anyone lets it go.
Two tops.
Three.
No.
I'm being fair.
So, but the three is with the disclaimer of
good behavior. You can knock it down to two.
Reducing it to two on good behavior.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. But see, what Mike's problem is...
Write that up and we'll see if we can pass it.
No. See, the positive take and the negative take have to be handled the same. Like, all you green teamers, I want to go back and put together all the sound of what you green teamers were saying about this team going into the year. I want to put that in a commercial. I want to put that online. I want to tweet that and listen to all the stuff that you were saying about this team and how stupid it sounds right now. You don't get off of that in 6 months. You don't get off of that in a year. You've got to pay for that every bit as long as Maz and his negative Red Sox take or me and my negative Patriots take.
Right. Time is benefiting you right now with the Cavs won the Kyrie trade.
So... That's different. That is yet to be determined yet. And then once we find the winner and the loser of that take then has to live with it for 2 to 3 years, depending on behavior.
I want to know if the flip side is also true. Does this mean that for another year, I can rub it in Patriots fans' face that the Eagles won last year's Super Bowl?
Yes, yep. Sure can, yep.
Okay.
And but the Patriots won the Super Bowl after, so doesn't that negate the take?
No.
Separate take.
Hell no.
Separate take.
In fact, I would argue that I really have two more years until they apologize to me.
Exactly, heartfelt. Good luck getting one of those.
Correct.
You will never get one of those.
If I get heartfelt apologies, I will stop in February of 2020.
3 years statute limitations on bad takes, 2 years for good behavior, meaning a mea culpa or heartfelt apology, Maz. I'm glad that's settled. Here's Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm not a huge fan, but I get it. They're in a market where they're a little tougher to draw fans, so I it keeps them around. So I think most teams are long gone by then. They're in the dressing room, so they don't even see it. So not a big deal. I don't know if they'll do it in the playoffs. That'll be interesting, but we'll see. Take it in.
Bruce Cassidy on with TNR this morning. Not a big fan of that Carolina Hurricanes celebration stuff, but he gets it. Mickey Mouse market. They have to do something. So that's what they're doing. They don't do it on the road. God forbid. It pelted. It's about Dodge debris. They try that in Boston or Philly or, place centers. Forget about it. Montreal.
Oh, you'd be throwing, pretzels, fried dough, exactly. Hot dogs, sausages at them, everything.
Oh, but Cassidy, I liked his whole thing on celebrations in general. Again, with TNR this morning, so that was his comment on, if you don't know, the Carolina Hurricanes at home after wins have started doing all these routines out on the ice a couple minutes after the game, like big joint celebrations. The whole team gets out there like... These touchdown celebrations now, okay? So mimicking hitting a home run, doing the limbo, going bowling, blah, 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 to celebrate wins. It's rubbing some people the wrong way. Don Cherry called them a bunch of jerks a couple months ago, and it's taken off, and now it's sort of a rallying cry for Carolina, and they're playing much better, and it's like become a thing, okay? But you won't get that here. It was the Whale are in town, which is a whole nother side story. That really is true. That is, what an insult. It'd be like the Ravens going back and playing in Baltimore and wearing the Colts throwbacks.
Totally.
It's like, we ripped your heart out. Here's the middle finger. That is rich.
Tactless.
For them to go back and do that. But anyway, Rich followed up on the celebration thing with Cassidy.
If you saw one of your own players try to pull something like that off, would you have a word with them?
I would. I think our leaders would, to be honest with you, they'd recommend they don't. There's celebrations now in the game. That's where it's changed a lot, I think. Used to score a goal, you'd go hug the teammate to pass you the puck or, something like that. Now you jump into the glass, you see that. I don't know if that started with the Washington Capitals there years ago or some guys take off a football, wide receivers that started that. I don't know, but that's enough for me. I'm a little old school that way. I think you should go to your teammates first, personally.
Okay. I love Cassidy. I really do. And by the way, the Ravens wouldn't be going back to Indy. It'd be the Ravens going back to Cleveland.
Right.
Okay. So I got that wrong. But anyway, so that's that. Tonight, Bruins, Hurricanes, i.e. the Whale. Tonight, 98.5 The Sports Hub, 7 o'clock, followed by Celtics, Warriors. No crossover on 105.7. It's a doubleheader. So chock full here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins game right into the Celtics game.
Yeah, playoff games in both leagues, right? So, I mean, against playoff opponents is what I mean.
So there you go. Stay tuned all night long, even the Lil Jones segment here before the Bruins start. Speaking of the Celtics, here's Dan in Hampton. What do you got, Dan?
Hi, just quickly before I get to my point about the Celtics, Mike and Tony, thank you for having me. I just wanted to say I remember Vinatieri missing a couple of kicks in Super Bowl against Carolina. He also missed, probably kicked them out of the playoffs in 99 when he missed that kick in Kansas City. So I'll just let that go. What I'm calling about, you know, Tony, I felt the same way you did last year when Hayward went down. I said, well, this is good. You know, these kids like Tatum, they're going to be able to develop and they'll be that better next year. Problem is they made it all the way to the seventh game of the Eastern Finals, and they keep pounding their chest about that. I wish they had friggin' won that, then gone and gotten totally embarrassed, which they would have, against the...
Right, against the Warriors that would have knocked them down a little bit. You think this is a problem, too, that they had too much success last year?
Yes, I think...
It filled their heads.
Yes, I think it's a problem when young guys have too much success too early, that all of a sudden they think it's easy and that they're better than they really are. And look, on some level, I'll tell you, I think that's happened to Kyrie, too. Like winning a championship relatively early in his career, I think now he's all about Kyrie. I don't think the winning is as important to him as he thinks it is.
His first point on the kicker, who did he have, Jimmy? Who did he have missing those big kicks?
Say, I remember Vinatieri.
Vinatieri. Okay, are we really going to compare Adams' couple of misses against what Gostkowski has done in some of these big games the last couple of years?
Oh, probably.
It's not even close, in my opinion. It's not even close.
It's not close. But again, there are some people that, you know, anything that's going on with the team right now, they'll tell you is perfect. Yeah, it didn't come back to bite him in the ass, Felga.
It did in two of those games. Eagles miss cost you.
And 15 was brutal, that AFC championship game in Denver.
Miss in Denver cost you. No question.
Big time it did.
No question. Never mind what... I'm sorry, what was his name?
Say, I remember Vinatieri.
Vinatieri. Josh in the car. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about what Murray said. Usually I'm right in line with Murray, but I kind of want to take shame a little bit for this. You said you wanted to allocate the money in the offseason, or you would rather the money go to right guard for Shaq Mason rather than Trey Flowers, and you cited the Super Bowl as your evidence, and I'm wondering if that was this most recent Super Bowl, the one that the Patriots held L.A. to 3 points.
Thank you. And scored 13 on offense.
Shame. Yeah, shame.
Thank you. No, hold on. Please, Jimmy, give it to me. He'd rather pay the right guard than the pass-rushing, disruptive defensive lineman?
Yeah, how'd they get there? Because they had to be
no,
able to protect
Murray,
Brady and
you
score
deserve
points,
to be shamed.
And they ran the ball,
shame
and they
him.
Did it with their number one pick, Sony Michel.
I just want to note for the record, I'm with Murray.
Don't give
shame.
It
to
me. I'm not going to, because I'm right.
Shh. Go ahead.
Shame!
I object to
boo.
That.
See, I like that drop.
That's a great drop.
Yeah, we don't play it enough.
No, we get played.
That's why I want to hear it.
I agree. We need to resurrect
that
one. You'd
rather pay the right guard than a pass rushing, disruptive defensive lineman. Are you on crack?
Well,
possibly.
The Patriots proved my point. That's exactly what they did.
They didn't win because they ran the ball. They won because their defense. No. They scored 13 freaking points, Murray. They couldn't score the ball in the game that mattered.
They scored enough, and in those other two playoff games, they were putting up nearly 40 and over 40, so no, they were able to score too and run the ball, so hey, you know, who was proven right?
You weren't. Not you. Jimmy Stewart, stop being a troll. You'd rather pay the right guard than a defensive end?
Yeah, in this case, where the team has adjusted and they now run the ball to win.
Oh, my God, Jimmy.
See, now you guys are just being stubborn.
Yep, now you're just... Now
you're doing it
I'm
on
the
purpose.
Most objective man on the show, now and that's not even a question.
Yeah, Mr. Provocative. Third row of the Celtics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First row, next row.
Yeah. Bought and paid for.
You had your Celtic banana hammock on the ride home.
My TB12 hoodie on.
Give me a break.
Seriously.
If those right guards are so valuable, Murray, how come guards make so much less than defensive ends?
I can't speak to that.
And how come running backs are like the second lowest position?
Because GMs are stupid, Mike.
Oh, is that right?
The world has bad values, Mike.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Pardon me, wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right. Two pieces of sound to get to here in the final word today. We'll start with the show discussing quarterbacks, specifically who would be a good fit on this free agent class here with Blake Bortles, maybe Ryan Tannehill. Who would be a good fit with the Patriots behind Tom Brady, eh?
Josh Rosen, you in or out? And we said, we originally said, if it cost you the 32nd pick, would you do it? Would you do it?
At 32, yeah.
If you like the guy, look, I'd like to keep that first rounder, but I'd give him the one in the second.
I would do it.
I mean, there was a time that he was talked about as the top pick in the draft of all those quarterbacks.
Exactly. You got to crack at that guy for a third round pick? A year after he's drafted? I mean, I think that's just... That doesn't come along very often.
All right, but a second ago you just said first.
I'd give up the 32nd pick for sure.
Okay, so I don't know that I would.
They would have to like him to give up the 32nd. Let me give you that.
So, like, I don't give up the first. I don't do it.
Okay, Blake Bortles, if he shakes free in Jacksonville.
Sure.
No.
Why not Murray?
Because I think he's fat and he sucks and he'll be 27 years old and he has to sit behind Brady. And
pretty good against you. I'm not telling you he's good. I'm just saying he's had his moments.
Yeah, that was his lightning in a bottle moment for a couple of weeks. That's it. That's the best Blake Bortles will ever be in the NFL, even if he's here in this operation under Josh McDaniels. No.
I told you yesterday I'd take a shot there.
Tannehill.
Please. Even worse.
No thanks. Good God, no. He sucks. That guy's hopeless. Useless and hopeless. That and there, I'm not wasting my time. At least I can look at Bortles and say, okay, there was once great promise there. Tannehill was a flyer when they drafted him, for crying out loud. That whole thing was a complete gamble by Miami.
Tannehill or Carmelo Anthony? You can only have one. You have to take one.
Oh, that's quite a Sophie's choice.
You have to take one.
Tannehill.
Yeah, I thought you'd go there.
More from Maz. Commentary on Kyrie Irving, who won't shut the hell up.
He has no clue about himself. None. He's completely oblivious, which is why, like, the idea that he would put himself above these young guys, he's every bit as oblivious as they are. It's comical. It is absolutely comical.
And it's so interesting how...
He's never coached a player like me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that. I wanted to vomit right there when I heard that. He's never coached a player like me.
You've never had a girl like me before. Like, all right, calm down.
Oh, my God. When he said that, I wanted to puke. I wanted to puke. I wanted to project out of every orifice of my body. I wanted to just convulsively puke. It was awful. He's never coached a player like me. Oh, get over yourself. Good God. He's never coached a player like me. Because I'm special. I'm special. I'm better than anybody else Brad has ever coached. Oh, you tool. Like, who says that? It is. It's LeBron. It's LeBron-itis. Son of LeBron. That's where son of LeBron's playing for the Celtics. It's unbelievable. It's like a horror movie, for crying out loud.
Mini-me. Little Penny.
Exactly.
Little Penny there.
Oh, God, it's brutal. It's just, he's just so, oh, he's so brutal to listen to. Brutal. Oh.
There you go.
Seriously, son of LeBron. That's what I'm going to start calling him now. Son of LeBron. The son of Bron running around there, running the team like little Chucky. Chucky from Child's Play. Son of Bron.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.